Very good. I think I'm finished with that subject anyway. I would be happy to discuss it further, but I believe that all of you now understand that the orchestration of these particular clubs get lost, you see, from its original intent. And in these instances that you're talking about, the original intent was to arrive at Plan 2000. And you're very close to your 2000. And this is the reason that I have given you silent weapons, quiet wars. Because you ones want to have a big flag waving all the time about the protocols and Zionism and Judaism and Hebrews. And I'm supposed to be evil and satanic because I say that there are protocols. They go right along with the manifesto. They go right along with the Plan 2000. And they are the silent weapons for the silent war. And you will see, as we lay them out, they match. The entire program is identical. They only call them by different labels. This is why you had to get over the protocols of Zion as a bigotry issue.
Thank you. I have two more questions. Why are people like Oliver Stone and movies like JFK and Jacob's Ladder allowed to be made? How do they squeeze by if the media, since the media is 100% controlled?
Well, because at some point the truth is going to out, and they would like to begin to let you in on it in bits and pieces that they can control a little bit better. And you can also know that regardless of how strong they are, you also have strength. And it will be made from time to time so that you begin to get a picture of what is truly going on and begin to question.
And one more question. Why were the first National Guard troops totally different from the ones that came a few days later? Is that significant?
Well, the significant part of it is that the National Guard was called in. They said that they could not go to duty post because they had no ammunition. Well, they had to let the city burn. You have to understand that. This is part of the plan. What did they do? What did Mr. Bush do before he brought in the federal troops? He federalized your sovereign state National Guard. That's very important. And they, along with the federal troops that were then brought in, both came under his direction, not the direction of the city or the state.
And does that have any connection with the so-called troops that the Klan is training in the southern states, the militia guys that they have the camps for?
No, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Are you talking about California specifically?
No, just every now and then they do little exposés where they show the modern Klan, and they wear military fatigues and M16s and all that. I was just wondering, was that connected in any way?
Well, very likely. I don't have any comment about that.
Okay, thank you, Hatan.
I would guess that probably some of the troops that they brought in may have come right out of those particular training camps. Your National Guard that was brought in first had to come in as National Guard, because those are the ones that go to work every day and train once a year or whatever. These are your reserves and your state National Guard. So they would have to be the ones brought in first. So the secret here is to watch the word. He federalized your state National Guard and then he brought in federal troops. You can bet that there were meetings before this took place in preparation for the Blue Berets, which would have been next, just like in Yugoslavia or any of the East Bloc countries that cannot bring peace. Once you have restored peace, you can... If peace had not really been restored, and if literally you were going to have a military presence, your troops would have been moved out, and peacekeeping troops would have been brought in to Los Angeles, and they would have been Blue Beret troops, United Nations. What's good for the world is good for America, they would tell you. And isn't it nice that your sons don't have to patrol the streets and this unified one world goodness to each other? This is the way it starts, and this is what people demand. And rather than seeing your own military on your own streets with tanks, they would rather see a rather objective peacekeeping group come in with pretty blue hats.
Hatan, many of us, probably in this room and elsewhere, would consider traveling some distance when either the radioactive belt is ignited or we enter the null zone to get home or to get to a place we'd rather be. Is that prudent if we, for example, dress to cover all of our body and whatnot, or would we be better off staying where we're at?
Either way, if at all possible, stay where you are and get protection. I can understand what you're saying, and you're going to have a situation where children are going to be separate from parents. As a for instance, you will have to remember that in the null zone, you're not going to be traveling great distances unless you can walk.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of using a bicycle, possibly.
Okay. You'll just have to look at the set of circumstances around you and act accordingly. The wisest, most prudent thing to do is to stay where you are in security. And if you have trained your children in survival knowledge for earthquakes or anything, they probably would be all right until you could get there. If you are just going somewhere just to be with somebody else, I would suggest you not do that. On the other hand, I know that you're going to do that. Especially if you can get in a car and go do it. So you're on your own. I have told you how it will be, that's the best I can do.
Thank you.
Hatan, why would the National Guard of Florida be training in Panama?
Well, I could be flippant and say, why not? Because you have a big drug cartel that's ready to take Cuba. Panama is already a part of it. It has everything to do with a third world war, nuclear war one, the banks, little Bush, little Twig is part of it. They're going to tell you that the presence there brings stability to Panama. They train there all the time. So my first flippant answer is probably as good as any. Why not? That's where they go to train.
Thank you.
You're at war. You are pure and simply at war. It is just a different kind of war. This is a quiet war. And the weapons are different. Even your killing weapons are different. In fact, anybody who might have heard the CIA answering Mr. Gonzalez about the Bull weapons, you see, they managed to finally kill Bull. but all bits and pieces of bull cannons were all over everywhere. All over everywhere. There's just so much that is going to come to light. Truth does have its out.
Commander?
Please.
I, too, have thought about riding a bicycle to get home because I have to go to work, and even though July 25th is shall come about, I'm not going to stay home. I have to keep going on under the assumption that realizing that this probably will happen, but when, we don't know, as you say. So, now you were talking about under the bright light that there will be x-rays.
True.
Now, how long can we withstand exposure to these x-rays? It'd take me an hour to ride a bicycle home.
I don't know. It depends on how much exposure there is. And radioactivity, as in radiation of any kind, be it x-rays from stomach ulcer picture taking to fallout, is a build-up kind of thing. And I wish, precious ones, I could nail it right down to the minute for you and tell you exactly what to do, and at 5 o'clock today go inside and stay there. But I can't do that. I can't do it because I'm not given the insight to do it, because they know full well I would do it. And that's greatly, greatly showing favoritism. But it's more complicated than that, as long as there are possibilities of impacting it. And if you see we get toward the 25th, and it's going to happen on the 25th, I can tell you that it will happen on the 25th, and you'll be getting your clues from other places, because then the elite will start talking about it some way. They may not call it what we're calling it. But you'll begin to hear a shifting around, and other predictors will be speaking of it and things like that. Or else you will be hearing absolutely zero about it because it will be banned. So you're going to have to pay attention. And you'll get your clues and you'll get your nudges, and you'll find that it will be remarkable how well you manage to be at the right place.
Will the roof of a common structure block these x-rays? How are we to be so safe inside of our houses?
Well, I can't promise you safety, can I?
I
don't know what else to tell you. I wish you had all holes. I wish you had underground houses. I wish you had lead in the roof. I wish you had aluminum particles in the cement, if you're in a cement house. All I can do is offer you the best you've got. I can't tell you what to do. You're not going to run around in an aluminum suit if I told you to. Just like you just said, I'm not going to stay home on the 25th. I have to go to work.
One question, Commander.
Please.
If you could find out where you can buy an ionization gauge, this would give you a measurement of x-ray intensity, and you could just run it every day, and if it's going to build up, you could see something's happening. But I don't know where I can buy one.
Ask Schaefer or somebody else who has some. I don't know.
It seems like the government has sort of blocked the sale of them, or taken them off the market.
Well, they probably have. They've taken folic acid and a few other things off the market so that you won't have them. And guess why they would do that? Because they're radiating you now. They know it. And you ones with little skin cancers, all they can do is tell you that you've ruined your own ozone layer. You're already the victims. And if you all had ionization gauges, etc., you'd find them out. So the wise thing for them to do is to remove them.
Commander?
Please. Please.
I don't live very far from a nuclear power plant. Would that be affected?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, I don't live very far from a nuclear power plant. Would the photon ban affect it?
I still didn't hear. I'm sorry.
She doesn't live far from a nuclear power plant. Will the photon entering the photon belt affect the nuclear power plant?
Well, it'll stop
her.
I don't know. I do not know. You're going to have a different kind of inner reaction in the cores. Obviously, the whole grid system within the plant's going to be confused because you're going to stop. There won't be electricity produced. I would guess that probably the material would remain contained. The worst problem that you have is the heat reactor will not stop reacting, and yet all your pumps and et cetera will go down. It's not perfect, precious ones. It's hell. Of all the things I hope you're getting is the futility and the frustration that I feel. I hear your petitions. And I can sit up here and I can give you piecemeal answers. All I can really tell you is you are entering hell. And I can only offer what I have to offer. I can't change it. You can change it when you decide that it will be changed. Or it will not be changed and it will continue. And you will experience exactly what has been laid out for you. And I know you want magic, and I know you want the perfect answer. I don't even have answers, except one. And therefore, I have the answer, and that's God.
Commander, I'm new here, and you may have covered this before. I've heard for years about this pole shift, but in actuality, what would create such a pole shift, since we... always the poles are shifting 15 degrees to one side and then back again cyclically. Is it just the speeding up of that shift? And that's not really, I mean, the Earth's gone through that at about a degree a year in this latitude. But what is it, a speeding up of that normal shift, or is it a larger shift than that? And when people speak of the pole shift?
Well, I have covered that. So let's see what I can briefly do to discuss that and why that would happen. Yes, already you are wobbling badly. And yet there are always fluctuations. These produce your ice ages and your polar shifts because you will have a magnetic shift and other things then come into play. And as ice caps begin to melt, whether they be just regular automatic solar melting, whatever you want to define it as being, water will seek its lowest point. And therefore, you're going to have pressure and torque built up on the planet itself. But any time that we are speaking now of a massive pole shift, that will come instantly. Already you are shifting, and the Brotherhood has been pretty much stabilizing you as it is. And as long as we were allowed to have craft that could stabilize around your equator, we could hold you pretty well. And you see, in our plan on the other side, it's just as physical, but we have our own restrictions because the ultimate transition is of the soul and the mind. And you've got a situation here where basically the higher energy forms do not care about your body. We do care about you. And a remnant must be for the remnant of human species, as you know it, to be continued, must have a remnant that passes through. Well, must have is a foolish statement. You don't must have anything, because obviously you were created from beginning. So that could be done again. But that's not the point of the play. the point of the play is progression of soul, so that ultimately all becomes one again, and you can look around you and tell from the manifested view that you see that all is not nearly one at this point in progression. As you move through into the higher frequencies and the higher dimensions, you will find that more and more and more you feel one. You become one. One in thought, one in action, and one in accepted behavior. So it's a little hard to discuss those higher planes and pole shifts with you, who know that if the pole shifts, you're done for. Well, there are several reasons why that would be allowed to happen. One, if you ignite your atmosphere, I mean, we're talking now about simple atmosphere, your air. If you start a nuclear war, or regardless of how you start it, it's going to erupt into a nuclear situation because you have too many nuclear devices, and you can't just undo that. You have too much condensed radioactive material that you've got buried. And you think you've got them buried nicely in melted glass, and you think that you've got it buried in Yucca Mountain somewhere, and you can test it. The kind of shaking and vibration that is going to come, if this gets out of control, will open anything. A good earthquake will open every locked cupboard that you have. I mean, right down to padlocks. So let's not play games with our own minds. Of all the people in the world, don't play games here. And I realize it's difficult to come into this at this stage. But if you have that kind of thing that can happen in a 30-second earthquake, you can imagine what will happen to those containers. You cannot contain the forces of nature. You can try and you can make it for a while and. But there is going to become a point beyond which you, as man, cannot restrain nature. And if you start a chain reaction that is going to tentatively destroy the planet, the first method of operation for salvation of the planet itself will be, we will let it go, and you will instantly change a full 13 degrees. That means in the long haul, by the time it settles out, almost everything that's underwater now will be above, etc. That is cleansing, and it's instant. It also washes radioactivity. Now, this also means that other things are happening. You cannot really do anything to the surface of a planet that is already manifest other than rearrange it, which is happening all the time with the face or the topography of your geographical locations. The mountains rise a little, and they don't get on the news and say, oh, the northern Sierras just rose 2 inches. From time to time, you will hear about the Palmdale Bulge, however. So you know that activity is going on constantly, and you're unable to monitor it. Maybe you go up on the side of the mountain today, and there's nothing, and tomorrow there may be a crack. So a living planet is making changes. When we speak of cities rising, Lemuria is coming up. Atlantis will come up, or the areas where they are. Two things happen. Is the shifting happens literally. The ocean floor is building. And as it builds, and with the inner pressure, it is thrusting various and sundry places up. Some of the places, such as the Philippines, are already up. They never went under as much of the rest of the planet. So you've got pockets all over. Australia never went under, not with that last one. So you have to put in perspective the whole and the circumstances under which this would happen. If you become unbalanced enough, the sheer weight or pressure will cause you to turn. You are a wheel. And you have weights, and you're out of balance. So this is what happens with the cycles. You would ordinarily go through these cycles. This is not something somebody has created. But you see, what happens with rapid shifts is something else happens to precipitate it. And you have the power to do that. You have the power, technological power, in human hands to push your planet out of its orbit. So please understand that it would not be any great deal of effort to tilt you.
In other words, you mean that this a rapid shift of the magnetic north would come from human hands, not from the natural phenomena of a normal 1 degree per year shift of an amplitude above and below of 15 degrees of the normal shift. This rapid shift of an immediate shift of 13 degrees would be from man-made causes.
No, I didn't say that. But it would be from outside causes.
When you say outside causes, do you mean like in the photon belt?
No.
What?
I'm not going to go into it. I mean outside causes, outside other than man. Man can do it. It depends on the order of the universe and what needs to be done to stabilize it. As to what would come into play. We're speaking hypothetically. I can tell you that probably I see no reason for a planet making a sudden shift of that magnitude unless it's just completely off balance and there's nothing to counterbalance it. And the order of the universe is not such that that would happen like that. But when we speak of gradual changes, you don't have the same time perception that I do because I have none. And it all happens at once. And therefore, I have trouble speaking in your terms of years. And 1 degree a year doesn't mean anything to me. But 1 degree of change in a solar system that has lasted billions and billions and billions of years is nothing.
Another question on a different subject. You seem to prefer this Bogreitz as a presidential candidate. However, it's literally impossible, as I'm sure you know from your writings on the control media, for anyone like him to get the coverage necessary. He has probably even less of a chance than David Duke. And I think the people are mostly going for Ross Perot for the simple reason that he does already have the publicity to get his name known. I would say that 98 or 99% of the people in the U.S. do not know who Bogreitz is or his background, so it would be impossible because of the control media to get out any word on it.
And your question?
Well, why you have spoken in the Phoenix Liberator that people ought to get behind this man as...
Because in the beginning, when we began to write about it, you could have elected him.
Even Ross Perot has a hard time getting on the ballots in many states, and the Libertarian Party has to do it every 2 to 4 years.
I can only tell you that if you had acted when I first told you, you could have elected him. I think it would have been a terrible, terrible mistake to have done so. Bogreitz is chosen, and I'm telling you, and I'm not going to flower this up for you, Bogreitz is chosen by God to lead this nation back. And it is not for this election. And this is something he has to face and you have to face. But where are you going to start? What are you going to do? Are you going to go out there and push someone simply because there's nobody else? What are you going to do? Always once ask me in your political foolishness, well, what can we do? I tell you what you can do. You didn't do it. Does that mean that you personally didn't do it? I don't know. I don't even care. It could have been changed from the moment that Ross Perot even began to talk about it. But you see, this, the announcement, don't miss this, the announcement came on Larry King Live. That he would even consider it. This is not an accident. But Ross Perot is a unique individual, or was. And at that time, had a real thrust been made, he would have listened to Bo. They know each other. He would have listened. And he would have heard guidance.
Will he not listen now?
No, he will not. He will do some surface changing. I see no way that he would change for enough. For one thing, he fully intends to go in and, quote, work with the Congress. All you have to do is just go in there and get along with them. That shows gross ignorance. And he says, well, we need to get rid of these political action committees and things that bring pressure to bear on the Congress. Well, that's why Congress doesn't get along with anybody now. And they're not going to get along with him. Also, you have to face the fact that the income tax is unconstitutional. Whether you like it or don't like it doesn't matter. It is. And if you have a nation out of work, who are you going to tax? So he says, we'll put everybody back to work. But he of all ones should know that with the free trade giving away your industries, you see, this has only done one thing, like we talked about with the pharmaceuticals. They went to Puerto Rico. You have denuded your country of industry. Who is going to go back to work? Everybody? That's what they say. Where are they going to go back to work? They tell you 3 million are out of work. You have millions out of work. But somehow it adds up to 3 million, doesn't it? And it's gone on for 2 years. So you're asking me about politics when I find the very subject abhorrent.
So do we.
But Greitz has got to get out. But you didn't find it abhorrent soon enough. You have continued to feed the beast. Whether you liked it or didn't like it, it has continued to be until here is where you are. Here is where you are, and this is what you have to deal with. Now, what are we talking about with Bo? He has to go on out there, and he has to make his speeches, and he has to try to awaken the people. And during this process, he has become an extremely godly person. He has committed whatever is required to his God first and then his nation. And he says to me, brother, I don't know if I understand it all, but send me and I'll go. And so we're sending him and he's going. And then when it's time, and this monstrosity collapses, you'll have a leader. Somebody who can reach out and bring in these fragments.
What of the 144,000? I've heard of the 144,000 for quite a while, but at the same time in your writings, lift it up.
Turn it on again.
You have a copy, but they can't hear. I'm Okay, of the 144,000 that I've heard of for years, supposedly, well, compare that to the fact that in your writings you've mentioned that there are 7 million people and you have space for them all, should they be willing to go. Are you aware of this 144,000 that I speak of?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then what is the difference in the matter there? How do they compare to the rest of the 7 million? That's only 1 in 50,000 people.
Well, you're talking about 7 billion, not million, number one.
Yes, billion.
144,000 is the relative proportion of ones according to population that will literally make it as a remnant. I would hope you'd be one of them.
I understand I am. I don't know that that makes me happy or not. But that
well,
only
if it doesn't make you happy, you're not one of them.
the thought that there has to be 144,000 is the unhappiness. But the 7, well, that only is 1 in about 45 to 50,000 people.
Right. Scary, isn't it?
Sure is. Next.
Please.
Commander, my question has no bearing with this topic now, but I am, I would like, I hope you will bear with me. In the Philippines, we have this people that we call witches. And I understand people are categorized into those that are in the dark and those that are with the light. But I am puzzled why this, what we call these witches, also go to church and are very religious. And they have the power to transform themselves into an animal or a bird or anything. And if they have the urge, they go and attack their victims. And the victims will become sick. They will have a lingering illness that doctors do not even know how to cure. And eventually they will just die. But if they recover from this sickness, they will also become, because suppose they had they were able to eat or drink the saliva of these witches, they will also become one of them. Now my question is, how can we heal these victims? And how can we protect ourselves from their attack if they get angry with us?
You stay in the light. It's that simple. You could have stopped right when you said there are ones of darkness and ones of light. And you have to allow them to do this to you, and so have those victims that you call victims, regardless of what you may want to believe. You cannot become a victim unless you allow it.
I have a very concrete example of this. A person is very near to me, and I think you mentioned.
Commander, maybe to clarify some things, you know, you're saying okay, light, fine. How about the babies? They're not covered in darkness, I suppose, and they're being victimized by these witches.
Well, what are you asking me then?
The question is, back to my question is how can you support,
what
protect?
What can you do about it?
Uh-huh. How can you fight with these witches to protect your loved ones who are, you know, like babies, children, kids?
How do the babies become the victim?
In some instances, they just die. In some instances, they just you know, cry endlessly, they feel certain pain, you bring them to the doctor is going to diagnose, you have a so-called quack doctor, sometimes you can even, you know, provide a cure. Can you explain on this whole scenario as to how these witches come about, the nature?
Yes.
How do they transform? What?
Yes, they are total evil. Please, I'm telling you, there are no, quote, white witches. You can believe this if you want to. There may be sorcerers, and they may be ones who don't go around doing great damage, and they proclaim themselves as white witches. There is God and there is darkness. Now you're going to have all variations of shading in between before you hit the total void of total absence of God. Most of it starts out as games. Most of it ends up as magic, and the other people's minds respond to that and will follow whatever they're told to do. I am a witch. I am now going to tell you your fortune. And tomorrow afternoon, you're going to be killed by a Chevrolet. You're going to make sure, if you believe that, that you are killed by a Chevrolet. You won't let a Ford run over you. Now, I don't mean to be, I am not being flippant. I hear what you're saying. And what you're trying to do is find out how you can fix the world. And the world is sick.
How do I count the commander for this, some kind of family, like, it's like carried on from family to family. From the grandparents to the parents to the children, and all they carry the same kind of witchcraft.
But you're asking me, what can you do against it?
Yes, I've got...
And there isn't anything that you can do against it. You can help to bring light within and knowledge and understanding and the truth within. But I know of nothing else that you can do. You can't forcibly go in there and change it. Are we understanding each other at all?
Yeah,
I hear you. You want an answer. What can you do miraculously to make one's change and come out of that? And yet, until they want to come out of it, they will not. And this is what you call the sins of the father resting upon the child. If the father is involved in this, the child will be, because he will give that child into the hands and into this mental set of the witchery. And it will usually not be blatant. It will be very subtle, so that you are sucked in. And then comes the pressure to, well, we're religious and we allow, God allows. Yes, God allows. But he allows for a different reason than man. I assume you want time. Very good. I think I'm finished with that subject anyway.
Okay.
I would be happy to discuss it further, but I believe that all of you now understand that the orchestration of these particular clubs get lost, you see, from its original intent. And in these instances that you're talking about, the original intent was to arrive at Plan 2000. And you're very close to your 2000. And this is the reason that I have given you silent weapons, quiet wars. Because you ones want to have a big flag waving all the time about the protocols and Zionism and Judaism and Hebrews. and I'm supposed to be evil and satanic because I say that there are protocols. They go right along with the manifesto. They go right along with the plan 2000. And they are the silent weapons for the silent war. And you will see, as we lay them out, they match. The entire program is identical. They only call them by different labels. This is why you had to get over the protocols of Zion as a bigotry issue.
Thank you. I have two more questions. Why are people like Oliver Stone and movies like JFK and Jacob's Ladder allowed to be made? How do they squeeze by if the media, since the media is 100% controlled?
Well, because at some point the truth is going to out, and they would like to begin to let you in on it in bits and pieces that they can control a little bit better. And you can also know that regardless of how strong they are, you also have strength. And it will be made from time to time so that you begin to get a picture of what is truly going on and begin to question.
And one more question. Why were the first National Guard troops totally different from the ones that came a few days later? Is that significant?
Well, the significant part of it is that the National Guard was called in. They said that they could not go to duty post because they had no ammunition. Well, they had to let the city burn. You have to understand that. This is part of the plan. What did they do? What did Mr. Bush do before he brought in the federal troops? He federalized your sovereign state National Guard. That's very important. And they, along with the federal troops that were then brought in, both came under his direction, not the direction of the city or the state.
And does that have any connection with the so-called troops that the Klan is training in the southern states, the militia guys that they have the camps for?
No, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Are you talking about California specifically?
No, just every now and then they do little exposés where they show the modern Klan and they wear military fatigues and M16s and all that. I was just wondering, was that connected in any way?
Well, very likely. I don't have any comment about that.
Okay, thank you, Hatan.
I would guess that probably some of the troops that they brought in may have come right out of those particular training camps. Your National Guard that was brought in first had to come in as National Guard because those are the ones that go to work every day and train once a year or whatever. These are your reserves and your state National Guard. So they would have to be the ones brought in first. So the secret here is to watch the word. He federalized your state National Guard, and then he brought in federal troops. You can bet that there were meetings before this took place in preparation for the Blue Berets, which would have been next, just like in Yugoslavia or any of the East Bloc countries that cannot bring peace. Once you have restored peace, you can, if peace had not really been restored and if literally you were going to have a military presence, your troops would have been moved out and peacekeeping troops would have been brought in to Los Angeles, and they would have been Blue Beret troops, United Nations. What's good for the world is good for America, they would tell you. And isn't it nice that your sons don't have to patrol the streets and this unified one world goodness to each other? This is the way it starts, and this is what people demand. And rather than seeing your own military on your own streets with tanks, they would rather see a rather objective peacekeeping group come in with pretty blue hats.
Hatan, many of us, probably in this room and elsewhere, would consider traveling some distance when either the radioactive belt is ignited or the we enter the null zone to get home or to get to a place we'd rather be. Is that prudent if we, for example, dress to cover all of our body and whatnot, or would we be better off staying where we're at?
Either way, if at all possible, stay where you are and get protection. I can understand what you're saying, and you're going to have a situation where children are going to be separate from parents. As a for instance, you will have to remember that in the null zone, you're not going to be traveling great distances unless you can walk.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of using a bicycle, possibly.
Yes, okay. You'll just have to look at the set of circumstances around you and act accordingly. The wisest, most prudent thing to do is to stay where you are in security. And if you have trained your children in survival knowledge for earthquakes or anything, they probably would be all right until you could get there. If you are just going somewhere just to be with somebody else, I would suggest you not do that. On the other hand, I know that you're going to do that. Especially if you can get in a car and go do it. So you're on your own. I have told you how it will be. That's the best I can do.
Thank you.
Hatan. Why would the National Guard of Florida be training in Panama?
Well, I could be flippant and say, why not? Because you have a big drug cartel that's ready to take Cuba. Panama is already a part of it. It has everything to do with a third world war, nuclear war one. The banks, little bush, little twig, is part of it. They're going to tell you that the presence there brings stability to Panama. They train there all the time. So my first flippant answer is probably as good as any. Why not? That's where they go to train.
Thank you.
You're at war. You are pure and simply at war. It is just a different kind of war. This is a quiet war. And the weapons are different. Even your killing weapons are different. In fact, anybody who might have heard the CIA answering Mr. Gonzalez about the bull weapons, you see, they managed to finally kill bull. But all bits and pieces of bull cannons were all over everywhere. All over everywhere. There's just so much that is going to come to light. Truth does have its out.
Commander?
Please.
I too have thought about riding a bicycle. Get home, because I have to go to work, and even though July 25th shall come about, I'm not going to stay home. I have to keep going on under the assumption that, realizing that this probably will happen, but when, we don't know, as you say. So, now you were talking about under the bright light that there will be x-rays.
True.
Now, how long can we withstand exposure to these x-rays? It'd take me an hour to ride a bicycle home.
I don't know. It depends on how much exposure there is and radioactivity, as in radiation of any kind, be it x-rays from stomach ulcer picture taking to fallout, is a build-up kind of thing. And I wish, precious ones, I could nail it right down to the minute for you and tell you exactly what to do, and at 5 o'clock today, go inside and stay there. But I can't do that. I can't do it because I'm not given the insight to do it, because they know full well I would do it. And that's greatly, greatly showing favoritism. But it's more complicated than that, as long as there are possibilities of impacting it. And if you see we get toward the 25th, and it's going to happen on the 25th, I can tell you that it will happen on the 25th, and you'll be getting your clues from other places, because then the elite will start talking about it some way. They may not call it what we're calling it. But you'll begin to hear of shifting around, and other predictors will be speaking of it and things like that. Or else you will be hearing absolutely zero about it because it will be banned. So you're going to have to pay attention. And you'll get your clues, and you'll get your nudges, and you'll find that it will be remarkable how well you manage to be at the right place.
Will the roof of a common structure block these x-rays? How are we to be so safe inside of our houses?
Well, I can't promise you safety, can I?
But you're safer there than out.
I don't know what else to tell you. I wish you had all holes. I wish you had underground houses. I wish you had lead in the roof. I wish you had aluminum particles in the cement, if you're in a cement house. All I can do is offer you the best you've got. I can't tell you what to do. You're not going to run around in an aluminum suit if I told you to. Just like you just said, I'm not going to stay home on the 25th. I have to go to work.
One question, Commander.
Please.
If you could find out where you can buy an ionization gauge, this would give you a measurement of x-ray intensity, and you could just run it every day, and if it's going to build up, you could see something's happening. But I don't know where I can buy one.
Ask Schaefer or somebody else who has some. I don't know.
It seems like the government has sort of blocked the sale of them, or taken them off the market.
Well, they probably have. They've taken folic acid and a few other things off the market so that you won't have them. And guess why they would do that? Because they're radiating you now. They know it. And you ones with little skin cancers, all they can do is tell you that you've ruined your own ozone layer. You're already the victims. And if you all had ionization gauges, etc., you'd find them out. So the wise thing for them to do is to remove them.
Commander?
Please.
I don't live very far from a nuclear power plant. Would that be affected?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, I don't live very far from a nuclear power plant. Would the photon ban affect it?
I still didn't hear. I'm sorry.
She doesn't live far from a nuclear power plant. Will the photon entering the photon belt affect the nuclear power plant?
Well, it'll stop. I don't know. I do not know. You're going to have a different kind of inner reaction in the cores. Obviously, the whole grid system within the plant's going to be confused, because you're going to stop. There won't be electricity produced. I would guess that probably the material would remain contained. The worst problem that you have is the heat reactor will not stop reacting, and yet all your pumps and etc. will go down. It's not perfect, precious ones. It's hell. Of all the things I hope you're getting is the futility and the frustration that I feel. I hear your petitions. And I can sit up here and I can give you piecemeal answers. All I can really tell you is you are entering hell. And I can only offer what I have to offer. I can't change it. You can change it when you decide that it will be changed. Or it will not be changed and it will continue. And you will experience exactly what has been laid out for you. And I know you want magic, and I know you want the perfect answer. I don't even have answers, except one. And therefore, I have the answer, and that's God.
Commander, I'm new here, and you may have covered this before. I've heard for years about this pole shift, but in actuality, what would create such a pole shift, since we... always the poles are shifting 15 degrees to one side and then back again cyclically. Is it just a speeding up of that shift? And that's not really, I mean, the Earth's gone through that at about a degree a year in this latitude. But what is it, a speeding up of that normal shift? Or is it a larger shift than that? And when people speak of the pole shift?
Well, I have covered that. So let's see what I can briefly do to discuss that and why that would happen. Yes, already you are wobbling badly. And yet there are always fluctuations. These produce your ice ages and your polar shifts because you will have a magnetic shift and other things then come into play. And as ice caps begin to melt, whether they be just regular automatic solar melting, whatever you want to define it as being, water will seek its lowest point. And therefore, you're going to have pressure and torque built up on the planet itself. But any time that we are speaking now of a massive pole shift, that will come instantly. Already you are shifting, and the Brotherhood has been pretty much stabilizing you as it is. And as long as we were allowed to have craft that could stabilize around your equator, we could hold you pretty well. And you see, in our plan on the other side, it's just as physical, but we have our own restrictions because the ultimate transition is of the soul and the mind. And you've got a situation here where basically the higher energy forms do not care about your body. We do care about you. And a remnant must be for the remnant of human species, as you know it, to be continued, must have a remnant that passes through. Well, must have is a foolish statement. You don't must have anything, because obviously you were created from beginning. So that could be done again. But that's not the point of the play. The point of the play is progression of soul, so that ultimately all becomes one again, and you can look around you and tell from the manifested view that you see that all is not nearly one at this point in progression. As you move through into the higher frequencies and the higher dimensions, you will find that more and more and more you feel one. You become one. One in thought, one in action. And want an accepted behavior. So it's a little hard to discuss those higher planes and pole shifts with you who know that if the pole shifts, you're done for. Well, there are several reasons why that would be allowed to happen. One, if you ignite your atmosphere, I mean, we're talking now about simple atmosphere, your air. If you start a, say, a nuclear war, or regardless of how you start it, it's going to erupt into a nuclear situation because you have too many nuclear devices, and you can't just undo that. You have too much condensed radioactive material that you've got buried. And you think you've got them buried nicely in melted glass, and you think that you've got it buried in Yucca Mountain somewhere, and you can test it. The kind of shaking and vibration that is going to come if this gets out of control will open anything. A good earthquake will open every locked cupboard that you have. I mean, right down the padlocks. So let's not play games with our own minds. Of all the people in the world, don't play games here. And I realize it's difficult to come into this at this stage. But if you have that kind of thing that can happen in a 30-second earthquake, you can imagine what will happen to those containers. You cannot contain the forces of nature. You can try and you can make it for a while and. But there is going to become a point beyond which you, as man, cannot restrain nature. And if you start a chain reaction that is going to tentatively destroy the planet, the first method of operation for salvation of the planet itself will be we will let it go, and you will instantly change a full 13 degrees. That means in the long haul, by the time it settles out, almost everything that's underwater now will be above, etc. That is cleansing, and it's instant. It also washes radioactivity. Now, this also means that other things are happening. You cannot really do anything to the surface of a planet that is already manifest other than rearrange it, which is happening all the time with the face or the topography of your geographical locations. The mountains rise a little, and they don't get on the news and say, oh, the northern Sierras just rose 2 inches. From time to time, you will hear about the Palmdale Bulge, however. So you know that activity is going on constantly, and you're unable to monitor it. Maybe you go up on the side of the mountain today, and there's nothing, and tomorrow there may be a crack. So a living planet is making changes. When we speak of cities rising, Lemuria is coming up. Atlantis will come up. Or the areas where they are. Two things happen is the shifting happens literally. The ocean floor is building. And as it builds, and with the inner pressure, it is thrusting various and sundry places up. Some of the places, such as the Philippines, are already up. They never went under as much of the rest of the planet. So you've got pockets all over. Australia never went under, not with that last one. So you have to put in perspective the whole and the circumstances under which this would happen. If you become unbalanced enough, the sheer weight or pressure will cause you to turn. You are a wheel. And you have weights, and you're out of balance. So this is what happens with the cycles. You would ordinarily go through these cycles. This is not something somebody has created. But you see, what happens with rapid shifts is something else happens to precipitate it. and you have the power to do that. You have the power, technological power, in human hands to push your planet out of its orbit. So please understand that it would not be any great deal of effort to tilt you.
In other words, you mean that this a rapid shift of the magnetic north would come from human hands, not from the natural phenomena of a normal 1 degree per year shift of an amplitude above and below of 15 degrees of the normal shift. This rapid shift of an immediate shift of 13 degrees would be from man-made causes.
No, I didn't say that. But it would be from outside causes.
When you say outside causes, do you mean like in the photon belt?
No,
what?
I'm not going to go into it. I mean outside causes, outside other than man. Man can do it. It depends on the order of the universe and what needs to be done to stabilize it. As to what would come into play. We're speaking hypothetically. I can tell you that probably I see no reason for a planet making a sudden shift of that magnitude unless it's just completely off balance and there's nothing to counterbalance it. And the order of the universe is not such that that would happen like that. But when we speak of gradual changes, you don't have the same time perception that I do because I have none. And it all happens at once. And therefore, I have trouble speaking in your terms of years. And 1 degree a year doesn't mean anything to me. But 1 degree of change in a solar system that has lasted billions and billions and billions of years is nothing.
Another question on a different subject. You seem to prefer this Bogreitz as a presidential candidate. However, it's literally impossible, as I'm sure you know from your writings on the control media, for anyone like him to get the coverage necessary. He has probably even less of a chance than David Duke. And I think the people are mostly going for Ross Perot for the simple reason that he does already have the publicity to get his name known. I would say that 98 or 99% of the people in the U.S. do not know who Bogreitz is or his background, so it would be impossible because of the control media to get out any word on it.
And your question?
Well, why you have spoken in the Phoenix Liberator that people ought to get behind this man as
because in the beginning, when we began to write about it, you could have elected him.
Even Ross Perot has a hard time getting on the ballots in many states, and the Libertarian Party has to do it every 2 to 4 years.
I can only tell you that if you had acted when I first told you, you could have elected him. I think it would have been a terrible, terrible mistake to have done so. Bogreitz is chosen, and I'm telling you, and I'm not going to flower this up for you. Bogreitz is chosen by God to lead this nation back. And it is not for this election. And this is something he has to face and you have to face. But where are you going to start? What are you going to do? Are you going to go out there and push someone simply because there's nobody else? What are you going to do? Always once ask me in your political foolishness, well, what can we do? I tell you what you can do. You didn't do it. Does that mean that you personally didn't do it? I don't know. I don't even care. It could have been changed from the moment that Ross Perot even began to talk about it. But you see, this the announcement, don't miss this, the announcement came on Larry King Live. That he would even consider it. This is not an accident. But Ross Perot is a unique individual, or was, And at that time, had a real thrust been made, he would have listened to Bo. They know each other. He would have listened. And he would have heard guidance.
Will he not listen now?
No, he will not. He will do some surface changing. I see no way that he would change far enough. For one thing, he fully intends to go in and, quote, work with the Congress. All you have to do is just go in there and get along with them. That shows gross ignorance. And he says, well, we need to get rid of these political action committees and things that bring pressure to bear on the Congress. Well, that's why Congress doesn't get along with anybody now, and they're not going to get along with him. Also, you have to face the fact that the income tax is unconstitutional. Whether you like it or don't like it doesn't matter. It is. And if you have a nation out of work, who are you going to tax? So he says, we'll put everybody back to work. But he of all ones should know that with the free trade giving away your industries, you see, this has only done one thing, like we talked about with the pharmaceuticals. They went to Puerto Rico. You have denuded your country of industry. Who is going to go back to work? Everybody? That's what they say. Where are they going to go back to work? They tell you 3 million are out of work. You have millions out of work. But somehow it adds up to 3 million, doesn't it? It's gone on for 2 years. So you're asking me about politics when I find the very subject abhorrent.
So do we.
But Grimes has got to get out. But you didn't find it abhorrent soon enough. You have continued to feed the beast. Whether you liked it or didn't like it, it has continued to be until here is where you are. Here is where you are, and this is what you have to deal with. Now, what are we talking about with Bo? He has to go on out there, and he has to make his speeches, and he has to try to awaken the people. And during this process, he has become an extremely godly person. He has committed whatever is required to his God first and then his nation. And he says to me, brother, I don't know if I understand it all, but send me and I'll go. And so we're sending him and he's going. And then when it's time, and this monstrosity collapses, you will have a leader. Somebody who can reach out and bring in these fragments.
What is the 144,000? I've heard of the 144,000 for quite a while, but at the same time in your writings, lift it up.
Turn it on again.
You want to talk because they can't hear. I'm saying that's what it was on. Okay, of the 144,000 that I've heard of for years, supposedly, compare that to the fact that in your writings you've mentioned that there are 7 million people and you have space for them all, should they be willing to go. Are you aware of this 144,000 that I speak of?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right. Then what is the difference in the matter there? How do they compare to the rest of the 7 million? That's only 1 in 50,000 people.
Well, you're talking about 7 billion, not million, number one.
Yes, billion.
144,000 is the relative proportion of ones according to population that will literally make it as a remnant. I would hope you'd be one of them.
I understand I am. I don't know that that makes me happy or not. But that
well,
only...
Well, if it doesn't make you happy, you're not one of them.
the thought that there has to be 144,000 is the unhappiness. But the... Of the seven, well, that only is one in about 45,000 to 50,000 people.
Right. Scary, isn't it?
Sure is. Next.
Please,
Commander. My question has no bearing with this topic now, but I am. I would like. I hope you will bear with me. In the Philippines, we have this people that we call witches. And I understand people are categorized into those that are in the dark and those that are with the light. But I am puzzled why this, what we call these witches, also go to church and are very religious. And they have the power to transform themselves into an animal or a bird or anything. And if they have the urge, they go and attack their victims. And the victims will become sick. They will have a lingering illness that doctors do not even know how to cure. And eventually they will just die. But if they recover from this sickness, they will also become, because suppose they had they were able to eat or drink the saliva of these witches, they will also become one of them. Now my question is, how can we heal these victims? And how can we protect ourselves from their attack if they get angry with us?
You stay in the light. It's that simple. You could have stopped right when you said there are ones of darkness and ones of light. And you have to allow them to do this to you, and so have those victims that you call victims, regardless of what you may want to believe. You cannot become a victim unless you allow it.
I have a very concrete example of this. A person is very near to me, and I think you misunderstood.
Commander, maybe to clarify some things, you know. You're saying, okay, light, fine. How about the babies? They're not covered in darkness, I suppose, and they're being victimized by these witches.
Well, what are you asking me then?
The question is, back to your question, is how can you support,
what
protect?
What can you do about it?
Uh-huh. How can you fight these witches to protect your loved ones who are, you know, like babies, children, kids?
How do the babies become the victim?
In some instances, they just die. In some instances, they just, you know, cry endlessly. They feel certain pain. You bring them to the doctor. The doctor gonna diagnose. You have a so-called quack doctor. Sometimes you can even, you know, provide a cure. Can you explain on this whole scenario as to how these witches come about, the nature?
Yes.
How do they transform? What?
Yes, they are total evil. Please, I'm telling you, there are no, quote, white witches. You can believe this if you want to. There may be sorcerers, and they may be ones who don't go around doing great damage, and they proclaim themselves as white witches. There is God and there is darkness. Now you're going to have all variations of shading in between before you hit the total void of of total absence of God. Most of it starts out as games. Most of it ends up as magic, and the other people's minds respond to that and will follow whatever they're told to do. I am a witch. I am now going to tell you your fortune, and tomorrow afternoon you're going to be killed by a Chevrolet. You're going to make sure, if you believe that you were killed by a Chevrolet. You won't let a Ford run over you. Now, I don't mean to be, I am not being flippant. I hear what you're saying. And what you're trying to do is find out how you can fix the world. And the world is sick.
How do I count the commander for this, some kind of family, like, it's like carried on from family to family. From the grandparents to the parents, the children, and all they carry the same kind of witchcraft.
But you're asking me, what can you do against it?
Yes, I've got.
And there isn't anything that you can do against it. You can help to bring light within, and knowledge and understanding and the truth within. But I know of nothing else that you can do. You can't forcibly go in there and change it. Are we understanding each other at all?
Yeah, I
hear you. You want an answer. What can you do miraculously to make one's change and come out of that? And yet, until they want to come out of it, they will not. And this is what you call the sins of the father resting upon the child. If the father is involved in this, the child will be, because he will give that child into the hands and into this mental set of the witchery. And it will usually not be blatant. It will be very subtle, so that you are sucked in. And then comes the pressure to, well, we're religious and we allow. God allows. Yes, God allows. But he allows for a different reason than man. I assume you want time.